the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, Chris, everybody's talking about their rights today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have my rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a right to go into that woman's locker room, even though I'm a man.
Yep.
That's not a right, just so you know, but that's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. I have the right to do whatever I want to do.
That's right. And, of course, a lot of people think that, you know, they have rights this, that, or the other when they actually don't. Let's just talk about rights from a biblical perspective.
Okay.
Try to make some practical application, talk about what's going on in the culture. Let's, on the one hand, let me just say this. If you're talking from in an absolute sense,
mm-hmm.
In an absolute sense, there is a sense in which you have no rights. Do you have any idea what I might mean by that?
In an absolute sense,
yeah.
You have no rights? Well, yeah. We have no right to anything other than hell.
That's exactly right. And that's coming from a Christian biblical worldview, that mm-hmm. we are sinners and we have sinned against God. And we don't have the right to claim anything. God's sovereign, God's holy, God's righteous, we're not. Mm-hmm. We have the right to go to hell, basically. My old friend Jay Ants used to say that quite a lot. And he's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. On the other hand, though, we're talking about the human plane. So in the human plane, do we have rights?
Yes, maybe.
Well, we do.
Liberty?
Sure.
The pursuit of happiness?
Yeah.
Yeah, life.
Yeah.
Forgot that one.
That's a big one. That's a big one. Well, see, those are the rights that God has given us, and that's why we have them. Not because we deserve them. We deserve hell. We deserve death. We deserve wrath, judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God has given us these rights, lost or saved in the human plane. And so when I talk about rights, that's what I'm talking about. I just want to clarify that for my theological friends.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Now, the question then, of course, is what rights do we have? We all agree, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. These are mm-hmm. unalienable rights. Government can't take them away from us, even though they do.
Right.
But they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay? So the Constitution means nothing anymore. It hasn't meant anything for a long, long time. Oh, man, I could talk about that, but I'm not.
Mm.
I was reading a piece by Walter Williams the other day.
Okay.
And he's quoting Bernie Sanders. Quote some other folk. Listen to this. Here's what Bernie Sanders said. I believe that health care is a right of all people.
Oh.
Now, is that a right?
Depends on who you ask.
I know, but is it a right, biblically speaking? Do you have the right to health care?
I don't believe that I have the right to health care.
You don't. Neither do I. Neither does anyone else. And I know a lot of listeners are going, wait, what? I hope they're going, way what? Or actually, I hope they're not. I hope they understand exactly where we're coming from. But if they're going, way what, then, you know, this is what I want to talk about. Let me give you a few other quotes first.
Okay.
And then we're going to let Walter Williams explain some things, and then we're going to explain some things, okay?
All right.
Here's what President Obama said.
I believe I have the right to pursue health care.
Oh, sure. That's a different thing.
Right.
The right to pursue health care and the right to health care are two different things.
Yes.
And see, a lot of people don't make those distinctions, and we're not splitting hairs. These might be minor distinctions linguistically,
mm-hmm.
but they are massive, theologically, philosophically,
mm-hmm.
civilly, etc., practically, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're massive. So don't throw off, not you, but the listener, don't throw off on distinctions. They're hugely important.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Back to Barack Obama.
Right, here's what he said. He declared that health care should be a right for every American. Now, what he means by that is the government needs to provide health care for every American. It's their right. That's what he means by that. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, here's what they said. Every person has a right to adequate health care. Now, we've just said we don't have a right to health care. And yet Bernie Sanders, Barack Obama, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops say, no, 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 you guys are wrong. We do have a right to health care. Here's what President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said in his January 1944 message to Congress. He called for the right to adequate medical care and the opportunity to achieve and enjoy good health. He wrote a second Bill of Rights. We should go over that one day on the air.
Okay.
Which is ridiculous because it's completely contrary to the first Bill of Rights in a very real sense. So anyway, here's what Walter Williams says. It's not just a health care right that people claim. There are rights to decent housing, good food, decent job for senior citizens, right to prescription drugs, right? On and on we could go. And so the real question is, well, do people really have these rights? Now, again, we're going to spend the first half of this broadcast, two halves, just talking about Williams and what he says for the moment, okay? So mm-hmm. bear with me.
Okay.
Because it's worth listening to. He said, if you think about the term right in its proper and historical usage, it really refers to something that exists simultaneously among people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all have the right to life. We all have the right to liberty. We all have the right to pursue happiness. But when you... I was going to say something, but I'll hold off.
Okay.
When you say that a right is something that is that exists simultaneously among people, essentially you're saying you have that right, and one of the reasons is, or one of the characteristics, I guess, of that is that it imposes no obligation on another. For me to live, for me to have the right to live, does not impose an obligation on you.
Right.
Other than you can't kill me, but that's not an obligation. That's just a prohibition because I have a right to life. But you're not obligated to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because I have a right to life doesn't
right.
mean that Gary over here has to take care of me.
Right.
A right to free speech. Now, this is Walter Williams. It's something that we all possess. And he says, my right to free speech imposes no obligation upon another except that of non-interference.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, if I have free speech, you're not obligated to me in any way other than to just leave me alone in my free speech.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a right to travel freely. That imposes no obligation on anyone other than leave me alone. All right? Now, if you contrast those kinds of rights, you know, free speech, travel, if you contrast those kinds of rights to medical care and decent housing, see, those supposed rights, medical care, housing, they do impose obligations on others, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have the money to pay for medical care, you don't have the money for decent housing, government provides it. And that's what Roosevelt was saying. That's what Obama is saying. That's what the Catholic bishops are saying. That's what Bernie Sanders is saying. You have a right, people, to these things. Vote for me. You have a right to these things. Government's going to take care of it. Well, here's the question. Where does the government get that money?
From everybody else. Well, they don't even have it. They just go into debt more.
Well, they go into debt, but they tax.
Right.
And they take it from, they take it from others. The government has no money of its own. And so it has to get it from us one way or another, whether it's taxation, whether it's inflation, you know, because of increased debt, I mean, on and on. But they print money out of thin air, and that causes inflation, which is a tax really on us. So either way, you're hurting others, you're stealing from others in order to provide what you have declared to be a right for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's force, it's coercion. As Walter Williams says, the only way for Congress to give one American something is to first take it from some other American.
Hmm.
In other words, if one person has a right to something he did not earn, it requires another person's not having a right to something he did earn. See, if I go out and earn money, I should have a right to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But what all these people are saying, Bernie Sanders, President Obama, etc., is no, you don't have a right to keep it. These other people have a right to health care. They can't afford it, so I'm going to take the money that you've earned, and I'm going to give them health care because it's their right, and you don't have a right to your own money. That's what they're saying. And that's why we need a discussion on rights in this country as part of the overall discussion of where we're going as a country. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just read here because we're going to run out of time, and I just want to finish up with Walter Williams before we get to the break. But here's what he says. Let's apply this bogus concept of rights to my right to speak and travel freely. Doing so, in the case of my right to free speech, it might impose obligations on others to supply me with an auditorium, microphone, and audience. My right to travel freely might require that others provide me with resources to purchase airplane tickets and hotel accommodations. If I were to demand that others make sacrifices so that I can exercise my free speech and travel rights, I suspect that most Americans would say, Williams, yes, you have rights to free speech and traveling freely, but I am not obligated to pay for them.
Right.
Right.
That, yeah.
So, he says, as human beings, we all have certain natural rights. Of the rights we possess, we have a right to delegate them to government. Now, this is another issue, and maybe we could talk about this one on the other side of the break. I don't know. But I have some other issues to talk about as well.
Yeah, you always do.
But if I have it, let me just explain this. If I have a natural right to defend myself against an aggressor,
mm-hmm.
against a predator, because I have that right, then I can delegate that right to somebody else. In other words, I can enlist someone else to help me protect me.
Of their own free will.
Of their own free will. So that might
be their own volition.
Right. So that might be someone who volunteers to be a policeman. You know, it's the government. All we're saying is the reason that somebody can step in and protect me from being murdered is because I have a right not to be murdered, and I can enlist others to keep me from being murdered,
mm-hmm.
so to say, and that we can delegate that to the government. But I don't have the right to take another person's earnings, even through the government.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I don't have a right to take someone else's earnings, why does the government have the right to take someone else's earnings? It's not freedom. It's a violation of rights. It's monkeying with reality. It's not America.
Well, what about the Christian concept of kindness and loving others and serving and sharing and helping?
All of that is absolutely true and biblical, but sharing and stealing are two different things.
True.
I don't have the right to take money from someone else by force, do I?
No.
Then do I have the right to enlist the government to take money from someone else by force, to give me something that I claim to be a right?
No.
No. Now, as a Christian, should I share with others? Yeah. And if I'm in need, should others share with me? Well, they might be morally obligated, but they're not legally obligated.
Let's talk about that more
after the break. Okay. Yes, I
do. God knew the need. He provided that answer of the fish that had a coin in its mouth.
Author Karen Whiting.
So be on the lookout for how God is working in your life. And look for money-carrying fish.
Karen makes devotions for active boys interesting and fun. Join Trace Embry and me, Rich Rosl, as we talk with Karen Whiting next time on Licensed to Parent.
Licensed to Parent every Monday at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-553-1851. 800-553-1851.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-553-1851. 800-553-1851.
Join us on Thursday, May 5th at 12 noon for our National Day of Prayer service at Springwell Church in Taylor, South Carolina. We're joining together as a community to worship and to pray for our church, our community, and our country. This is a laid-back acoustic worship experience planned to encourage you during your lunch hour on Thursday, May 5th at 12 noon. Visit springwell.org for more information or call 864-268-2299.
This is Christian Talk 660.
We believe in freedom.
We do.
We believe in liberty.
Yep.
Because it flows from a biblical worldview. It flows from a biblical worldview in terms of what civil society should be like. And it's not because we want people to run around sinning, but we just want people to be able to, live out their rights. That's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then, no one else has the right to take my life from me, my liberty from me, my happiness from me. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, and we can go down this road on future broadcast, but people will say, you can't murder. Again, that's right. If you understand what we're talking about, I have a right not to be murdered, so we could have a law, thou shalt not murder. I mean, that's out of the Bible, but we got to have a law against murder. See, if I have rights and liberty and, say, a libertarian construct, I'll just throw that term in there, doesn't mean that we can do anything and everything, but it means that I have the right to do what I want to do as long as I'm not harming someone else.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm not violating their rights. And it seems so simple to me. I don't understand why people don't understand that. I don't understand why people aren't in favor of that. And again, I think it's a confusion among Christians. Maybe we'll talk about that in the future.
Well, I have a question.
In depth. All right? Hit me with your question.
Well, we were talking about, do people have the right to health care?
Mm-hmm. No.
And we said that they don't. But to me, it's sad if someone has a terminal illness and they can't afford treatment and then they're just going to die.
Mm-hmm.
That's sad. I think someone should help them. Mm.
Well, I agree, someone should help. But just because someone should help doesn't mean you have the right to take from somebody else to provide that help, does it? Or does it?
No, but okay. How do we help? What do we do?
Well,
just let them die?
Well, before we get to that, this is why we have insurance companies.
Okay.
This is why we ask people, look, if we didn't have a welfare system, If people weren't dependent on the government, and if people were born into this world knowing that they had to work, and if we give them a biblical view of work, that work is actually good, this is where the Christian worldview comes to bear on everything, not just this or that. Most people, even Christians, think that work is a burden. They think that I'm just working for the weekend. Can't wait. And I understand that. But that's problematic. God says work is good. Now, he says that, as a result of the fall,
it's hard.
That work is going to be hard. There are going to be some unpleasant things about work. But the curse is not that we have to go to work. We had work before that. So there are good things about work. There are bad things about work. But what we have to do is focus on the good things, overcome the bad things with a reliance on God and those kinds of things, but see work as a thing that glorifies God and that's good and productive and provides for me and others, and on we could go. Anyway, you live in a fallen world. Not only do you need a biblical view of work, but whether you have a biblical view of work or not, you got to go to work to provide. And you know that in a fallen world, catastrophe can strike, and so you have things like insurance, and you got to buy insurance. And there's a lot of people that won't buy insurance because they're on welfare. But again, if you didn't have the welfare system, people would be a lot better off. Now, so, you know, you get health care through either paying, through working, or through insurance. Now, obviously, there are always going to be some who can't afford that. And that's sad. That's tragic. That's part of a fallen world. You're talking about, you know, somebody, you know, I don't know, who has cancer and they can't afford to pay for it. But this is why you have charitable organizations.
Right.
But that's voluntary. And all I'm saying is there's enough insurance, there's enough charitable organizations to take care of everybody. But you also teach people not to rely on charity,
too. There's probably not enough charitable organizations and everything to take care of everybody right now, because I bet there's more people that would want to start charitable organizations if they weren't giving away all of their money to the government.
Well, sure. And so if you're talking about how do we unravel this problem based in the current system and the tangled mess in which we find ourselves, that's a whole other discussion that's going to require, you know, years of research and planning and implementation. And that's what we need to do as a culture. But we're talking about principles. And so I'm just answering you with a principle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simply saying that we don't have a right to tax somebody to pay for their medical care. They need to work. They need to have insurance. And where those things don't exist, you have charity. That's what charity is, whether it's family, friends, the church, you know, the cancer society, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what all that's for. So in answer to your question, you know, government health care is not the answer.
Mm.
First off, it'd be worse than what we've got now.
Well, yeah.
And what we have now is worse than what we should have if we didn't have the tangled mess. But the tangled mess is because of government and welfare and all the rest.
Right. I'm with you.
Okay. Side issue.
Okay.
People want to ask me, well, shouldn't we go over there and send troops into, you know, wherever, say there's some kind of genocide or something? You know, and you know, what I'm saying, we don't need to intervene in other countries, you know, and I'm saying you can't tax the people to send our army into another country, or, you know, just because, you know, gosh, they're having a hard time. And people say, well, that's cold-hearted, that's cruel, blah, blah, blah. And I understand that. But here's the deal. You can always get people to volunteer. There are volunteer armies all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a genocide issue over here. Whether it's privately organized or even the government, you can call, hey, here's a situation over here. We're going to raise an army, but it's all volunteer, and we're not going to pay for it through taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. We're going to have people donate.
Right.
There are always market solutions are better than government solutions. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not even talking about that today.
We just did.
But I just want people to learn to think, because people are so locked in. You know, I heard a Christian theologian the other day. Somebody said that the government ought to get out of marriage. The government shouldn't even be involved in marriage. And I agree. I mean, I've said that a thousand times. And, you know, the Christian theologian's response was the government has to be involved in marriage, because if government's not involved in marriage, then you're not going to be able to, you know, take care of children, you know, when there's divorce or whatever.
Okay.
And I want to say, you know, here's a Christian theologian, one of the most intelligent theologians that honestly lives today. And I just want to say, what in the world are you talking about? How can you be so not only ignorant of history, but how can you not even learn to think? Historically, you've had plenty of societies and situations where the government was not involved in marriage and children did just fine. Now, there are a lot of cultures where children didn't. They throw them on the trash heap and all that. That's not the point. The point I'm making is God's the one who defines marriage. Government mm-hmm. should be out of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That way, we don't even have this whole gay marriage discussion. It's not even an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to call yourself married? I mean, sinners are going to do what sinners do. I don't care. Well, I do care. I want to preach Christ and have him say. But in terms of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can call yourself married, but no, marriage is between a man and a woman. We understand that. But we don't want the government defining marriage. And when we get the government involved, we have exactly what we have now. Government defining marriage, and now religious freedom is being impinged upon, infringed upon.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it either way. Where was I going with that? Oh, you have private contracts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a divorce, you know, you can let the church arbitrate if the church is being the church.
Mm.
1 Corinthians 6. Somebody ought to read 1 Corinthians 6 once in a while. By not going to law court before the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Before the pagans. I'm not saying you can never go to court, but I'm saying you ought to read 1 Corinthians 6 and apply it.
Anyways.
But even if it's not the church, you still have private. If I'm entering into a contract with somebody and they don't perform, what do? I sue them. It's the same way. I mean, the idea that marriage can't work apart from the government, that is unfaithful to the scriptures. I'm sorry. Okay. Am I going? What am I talking about?
We were talking about rights. And then we started talking about health care because I had a question.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Took us down a road or two. The bottom line is that medical care, housing, decent jobs, these are not rights at all. These are wishes. You have the right to pursue those things, but you don't have the right to demand these things and have the government serve as your agent to take money from others to give you what you want. I wish everybody had, this is what Walter Williams says. He says they're wishes, so I'm borrowing from him. He says, I would agree with most Americans, you know, if these are wishes, because I too wish that everyone had good medical care, decent housing, mm-hmm. and a good job. I wish that too, and that's where you're coming from with your question. I don't want to see anybody not get treatment for cancer,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I would donate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's really hard to donate as much as you'd like when you got all the taxes that we have too.
Right.
But anyway, what I wanted to do, and we're not going to have time. That's okay. We'll do it on a future broadcast.
Okay.
But I want to throw it out there just because it's part of what we're talking about. And I think we've already thrown it out there in a sense. But does the government have the right to do unbiblical things just because it's the government?
No.
Well, and most Christians, I think, would answer that question the same way you did. Well, no. But when they look at government and when they talk about it in reality, they don't actually believe that. They do believe the government has a right to do unbiblical things just because it's the government. And so I want to use this little illustration that we've been using all show long to get people to think about that so that when we come back on a future broadcast, might help them a little bit. Okay, I see where you're coming from.
Okay.
You know, I have a right to self-defense, therefore the government can help me with that. But I don't have a right to take money from someone else for my medical care, so I can't enlist the government to take money from someone else for my medical care, right?
Right.
All right, talk about it next time.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archive broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.